I'd like to invite you this morning to Luke chapter 2 and to continuing in the Christmas story, kind of where we left off last week. And I want to pick up in verse 16 of Luke chapter 2 and continue there. Not a lot of verses this morning, and I really want to focus mostly on Mary and talk a little bit more about Mary and what this verse, beautiful verse 19, says. But also, before I do that, I want to say a few things about the shepherds as we kind of close out what I talked about last week. Last week, I focused on the importance of joy in our lives and how joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is a characteristic of people whose hearts are trusting God, and how important joy is in our lives. And when we find that we don't have a joyful spirit, then we really need to go back and take stock, maybe of our trust and how we're relating to God and what God does for us. The angels brought good news of great joy that was for all the people. And that's for us, and everybody that's here this morning should have in their heart. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer today, there should be a fountain of something on the inside that comes out of your faith in God, out of your relationship with God, that fuels you, that somehow helps you. Not that you won't have hard times, or that life won't be painful, or you won't go through the most difficult times. Christians go through the same or more difficulties than anybody else does. God doesn't shelter us or keep us from problems. We know that. But God promises to be with us in the problems and in our struggles and in our times of pain and in our circumstances that are difficult. And I just believe that joy is so important to your heart and your life. It's so important to my heart and my life that there's something deep down on the inside that just generates a spirit that people can see that we know God and we love God and we trust God and God is there for us. We might not have all the answers. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can have within us that spirit that people can see. We have faith in a mighty and an almighty God. And I want to encourage you to continue to nurture a joyful spirit in your heart and your life, and seek God's help and ask him to help your life, for people to see joy in you. And you'll have a witness and a testimony. Our scripture that we're going to read today is also about another testimony and a witness. I want to begin at verse 16, read through verse 20. It says, So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When I think about the shepherds, I think of ordinary people. People who were working hard, people who were minding their own business. When I think of the working class of shepherds in Jesus' day, they were not the best paid people. They probably didn't have the most glamorous jobs, and it wasn't easy. I mean, I kind of have a picture of shepherds all dressed up in nice costumes and standing out with a cane and just kind of enjoying the nightlife. But, you know, it probably wasn't much like that. It was probably more they were cold. They wished they were at home in bed. They wished they had something to eat, and they wished that they didn't have to stay up every night and constantly look after their sheep. I mean, the job of a shepherd wasn't that easy, but God chose the average, everyday shepherds. I mean, do you feel like a shepherd sometimes? Do you feel like life is kind of like that? You go to work and maybe it's not the job that you wish you had, or maybe there's something else you could do, but you just do what you need to do. And there were the shepherds doing that. And it was the shepherds that God came to and the angel came to. The angel of the Lord appeared and the lives of the shepherds changed. Imagine what it was like, and suddenly, and that's the word that comes to mind as I think about the shepherds, the suddenness of it, how all of a sudden God broke through their world and gave them a message that was amazing and marvelous. And God knew right where those shepherds were. It reminds me that God is watching over us. And though we might not every day sense him or hear what he's saying to us, we're seeking, we're listening, but God always knows where we're at. We may not always see what God is doing, but God sees what we are doing. He knew where to find the shepherds, and he broke into this world. I want to focus for a few minutes this morning on what happened to the shepherds. How did they respond to this amazing suddenness and change in their lives before we turn our attention to Mary? Well, the shepherds, their lives were interrupted by the suddenness of God's message, and they were overwhelmed. They were afraid. Of course they were. Who would not be? All of a sudden, you're out working in the dark, and a bright light comes before you, an angel, and they were afraid, overwhelmingly. They were afraid, the natural reaction. But then the angel spoke his peace to them, and they calmed down. They told him not to be afraid. The angel reassured them and then spoke to them that great news, that joyful news, the good news that we kind of focused on last week. And then I noticed that what did the shepherds do immediately? They wanted to see for themselves. The shepherds were not satisfied just to hear the story from the angel or from the angels, to hear what God had done. They immediately went to see for themselves. They wanted to see. They wanted to experience it. There's a big difference between hearing a story and hearing what God is doing and experiencing it ourselves. Sometimes it seems like we might hear about what God is saying to a lot of other people, or maybe something that God has done in somebody else's life, and we're glad for that, and we rejoice for that, but we're also glad when God comes to us and speaks to us and helps us to hear and to see his presence. And these shepherds encountered an amazing thing for themselves. They saw it for themselves. They experienced it. And their reaction and their response was so beautiful. Their witness is amazing. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. See, they wanted everybody to know. They had it in their hearts. It was real to them. Their connection to the Christmas story was so real that they wanted to spread it. And when your faith is real and it's alive and you're connected to God, you want other people to know who Jesus is. You want other people to know the story. And that's what the shepherds did. These untrained, common people went out and told their story. It was in them. It was a part of them. And it spilled out of them. When your faith is so real and your relationship with God is so genuine and it's really a part of who you are, it will come out of you. People will see it. Whatever it is that drives you, that thrives you, that gives you joy in your life, that you hold on to and treasure, whatever it is that is most important in your heart and your life, people will see. We're going to see that in the life of Mary. And for the shepherds, what came out of them was the excitement and the joy of this beautiful story and message that they heard. They couldn't hold it in. They couldn't wait to tell the story. And it says that all of them were amazed when they heard it. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. I don't know how many people they witnessed to, and I don't know how many people in the first century heard the story of Jesus' birth. Apparently enough did. The story was passed on, certainly orally and in the life of Mary and maybe many others. But we have Luke's gospel in part because the story was told. The story was spread and people heard it. And then it was written down and it became a part. God's will became a part of the Holy Scriptures and the Bible. The word was spread because the shepherds were so changed by the message and the word that God came. I don't know how many people their lives affected. And then in this passage, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. We think about Mary for a while, for a time this morning. And Wednesday night in our prayer meeting, I kind of started on talking about Mary and her life and her character. And it just kind of leads into what I want us to think about Mary today. But Mary, a very young girl, probably a teenager, maybe a young teenager. I've read that young Jewish girls. I mean, we hear more about Jewish boys when they're 12, they have their bar mitzvah and they're considered a man. And after they've memorized the law and done certain things, it's an entering into manhood. But for girls, we don't hear as much about it. But I understand that the Jewish girls, when they were able to bear children, when they passed over that time in their lives, then oftentimes they would be betrothed, they would be given to another family in promise that she would become the bride of the boy in the family a few years later when they reach a certain age. And so it's very typical and very common for a young Jewish girl, even 12, as young as 12 years old or 13 year old, to be engaged to a young Jewish man, or an older Jewish man for that matter. And so Mary may have been very, very young. It's likely she could have, some people think, as young as 13 or 14, promised in marriage. And when I think about that, don't know exactly how old she was, but however old she was very young, and how she was able to please God at that age. You don't have to be an old person to please God. You can be very, very, very young and be pleasing to God. In fact, children, I believe in their hearts and their attitudes and their spirit, by their choices, by their faith, by them acting on what they understand about God, can be very pleasing to God. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be pleasing to God or not be pleasing to God. But Mary's an example of a beautiful young woman who was pleasing to God. She understood who God was. And somewhere along the way of her childhood, and she may have been pleasing to God much younger than this age, but somewhere along the way, this Mary made a decision as a child that she was going to open her heart to be obedient to God and to be what God wanted her to be. And she becomes this beautiful example of a young woman whose heart and life is given to God, but she started at an early age. I'd say to all the children that are here this morning and young people that you can be very pleasing to God right now where you're at your age, when you're at school, when you're at home, when you're with your friends, when you're at church, you can be very pleasing to God. God can look into your life and say, I am pleased with you. And that's what we all want for our lives, whether we're 8 years old or 13 or 20 or 50 or 80 or 94. We want to be pleasing to God. And Mary is an example of a young person whose life was pleasing to God. In some ways, you would say she was just an ordinary Jewish girl, like many other Jewish girls that lived, except there was something about her life and her character that got the attention of God, and God chose her. And the angel said to her a couple different ways how God was, God found favor with you, and God looked at you. He says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The truth is, every one of us can be pleasing to God if our hearts are right with Him. Mary, I think of her life. I think of her example and how God stepped into her life and changed her life, like the shepherds. And Mary's life takes a whole different direction than it otherwise would have. And Mary lives out that faith all her life in the simplicity, you might say, but always in responsiveness of God to God. Mary has this deep faith that she will do whatever God calls her to do. And because of that, Mary becomes known to the church and to 2,000 years as the best, the most revered and honored woman in the history of mankind. Why? God chose this young girl who had a responsiveness to do what's right, and God used her. And she becomes this beloved woman across the world in many languages, many continents, many even other religions. Mary's name is held in such high regard. Some hold it in ways that we don't think are best, but it's not Mary's fault. Mary simply lived out her life to honor God. You know, and other things that I think about Mary, she's so beloved around the world, but you know, she's not really known for all her words. You think of what's Mary known as? Why are people drawn to Mary? And you can't really say that she's known for her words. What she's known for is her character and her actions. You know that Mary only speaks four times in the New Testament, 99.8 or so, I'm rounding it, of the words that Mary speaks has already been recorded in chapter 1. After this, you don't have Mary saying very much. Three other times in the New Testament does Mary utter a word that's recorded in the Scripture. You think, well, does that mean that it wasn't important what she said? Or why is that? But you know what I see in there is you don't see her speaking. What you do is you see her living it out. You see her living out the job that God gave her over the years throughout Jesus' life and ministry. You know, she's always there. She's always present in the life of Jesus, supporting him, being a mother, always there. She never stops being a mother, of course, but she's always there. And God uses that silent testimony of Mary in incredible way. It just seems like in so many scenes of the rest of the Bible, we find her there. She is fulfilling the role that God gave her to fulfill. She is fulfilling the being there and her quietness and her support of Jesus continues to be there. The truth is, her character speaks volumes. Her character speaks volumes. Mary had an incredible faith. To be able to believe God and respond so willingly to a message that was so unbelievable and so incredible and so unlike anything anybody has ever heard before, that here's this girl who the angel comes and tells her that she's going to have the Son of God. And what does she do? She believes him. Now, she doesn't understand and she asks questions, which that certainly is normal. Of course she'd ask a question. Well, I don't have a husband. How can this be? I mean, you know, that's not an example of not having faith. That's an example of having faith and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. How are you going to do this? I don't understand how this can happen. And the angel responds, and what is she? She says, okay, God, if this is what you want for me, I'll do it. Mary has an incredible response to me that should be the response of all of us about what God says to us. Mary has the response, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll play whatever part you want me to play. I'll be in whatever role you want me to be. I'm here, I'm available, and I'm yours. And that's a beautiful picture, an incredible picture, I believe, of her faith. She could not have possibly understood the plan that God had for her. I mean, she had, I'm sure, as smart as she was, I don't know how smart she was, She maybe understood that there was a Messiah coming from the Old Testament. Maybe she knew that. She certainly heard the words of the angels, but she couldn't have understood the whole thing. I mean, how would you understand all the things that were going to take place? She didn't know ahead of time, but she reacted by faith. And that's the way it is in life. We choose whether or not we're going to follow God. Whether or not we know the circumstances and we know how everything's going to play in our life, we make the choice of faith. I'm going with him. I trust him. I know that he is watching and he is overseeing my life and he is trustworthy. I feel like Mary has had such a heart of trust that somehow this young teenager could trust the heart of God and say, God, I'm with you. I'll do whatever you want me to be. So may it be to me as you say. Mary says, what an incredible faith she had. She couldn't have understood the plan, but she did not trust God. And then she just lived out watching what happened. It's kind of like thinking of a surfer and how the surfer gets on the wave and just carries it all the way in. And there's Mary out there and she can't control what's going on and this great wave that's coming. So what does she do? She just gets on and she just lets God carry her in. And she just fulfills. Her whole life is a fulfillment of just living every day and every moment out. And that way she fulfills the plan that God has for her. Sometimes we think that fulfilling God's plan for our life means real big decisions, real big changes. And sometimes there are those mountain places or their step places of fulfilling God's will for our lives. But, you know, for most of us, most of the time, fulfilling God's perfect will for your life is living today the way God wants you to live. It is having the heart today that God wants you to have for today. It's having the right attitude toward him and toward other people and toward your treasures and toward your time and toward compassion that God wants you to have. It's living today that you fill out, you fulfill the long-term plan for your life. It's doing today what God lays on your heart. Sometimes there's big changes and big steps to take, but for the most part, life is living every day, just living, and that's what Mary seemed to do. Mary just seemed to live it out all her life, whatever we read and we hear about her. She was humble, she was sincere, she was faithful. And then verse 19 tells us something else I think that's very special about Mary. Verse 19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Like for us to think about that verse for a couple minutes this morning. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here's something else about Mary's character. Think about what that means. What's that say to you? How does Mary respond to all this stuff that's going on, these incredible changes? What's Mary doing? Well, one thing she's doing is she's treasuring the things of God. She's treasuring the word of the angel. She's treasuring the events that are taking place. And she's pondering them in her heart. Meaning she's saying, "God, what are you saying to me through this? What are you saying? What are you doing? What do you want for me?" She had this teachable spirit that was saying to God, "God, I don't understand everything. I don't know what or why or how, but I trust you." And so she treasures and she ponders. The pondering in her heart. You wonder, what is she pondering? What is she weighing? What is she? She's saying, "God, I'm here. Today I'm doing what you want me to today. And tomorrow I'll do what you... Just help me to know as we go. Help me to know as we go." She's pondering. I think this too is an important part of who Mary's character is. Somehow she treasured the right things. You know, that's something else that's important for us as Christians, that we treasure the right things. That we treasure and we hold on to and we seek. Philippians chapter 4 talks about thinking about the right things, the noble, the right, the just, the lovely, the praiseworthy, all these things. Think on these things. How God wants us to fill our minds and our hearts with things that are really valuable. Good treasures. There's so many things that can occupy our time. There's so many devices. There's so many things to watch and to read. And a lot of them are good. And, you know, there's a lot of hobbies and habits that are out there that can occupy us. But what does God want us to be most treasuring? Those are the things that Mary treasured in her heart. She seemed to seek to hear God's leading and God's plan. There's so many entertainments out there that can take our time and can hold us, but do we treasure the things that God wants to say to us? Mary treasured up and all these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Mary was quietly listening, watching, living out day by day God's plan. She had a lot to treasure. I mean, it's not just in this part of the story, but in this part of the story, how do you ponder the message of the angels and everything else that takes place? I mean, when you think of Mary and pondering and wrestling with all these things that have happened to her and how that fits into life, and how does that fit into Joseph? I mean, what's he going to do? Will he ever believe this? I mean, you just think of what Mary had to be wrestling with. And then when the baby comes, and you think about the shepherds and their message and how incredible it was, treasuring and pondering. And then, well, even before then, I should go back. There's Elizabeth. And so in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and then gives her the news, and Mary gets up immediately and she rushes to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who's already pregnant. She's well beyond childbearing years. And then Elizabeth affirms to Mary all these things. Elizabeth already knew. How did Elizabeth know? I wonder if Mary thought, treasuring up. Wow. How did she know? My Lord? How did my cousin down in Judea, well, God is working in this. She's treasuring and she's pondering, and all these things are in a part of Mary's life as she goes through, and all the way to the end, she's carrying with her these beautiful stories and the message and the story of God. And then after the baby was born, even with the shepherds, and then when the wise men come, can you imagine how, you know, I mean, what do you think about these guys that come in with all these expensive gifts, you know, some months or a year later or whatever it was in time, you know? And boy, can you just imagine Mary treasuring that and pondering that? And then, probably even before that, 40 days. 8 days was the circumcision and the naming, but 40 days was the dedication. And 40 days, they make this journey to Jerusalem, maybe from Bethlehem still then, not sure, but they go into the temple to do what good Jews do, what good Jews, moms and dads, they take their baby, special day, first boy, firstborn son, they take him for dedication, and they go in there and they encounter this man named Simeon, this old man Simeon. And then Simeon begins to speak about who this baby is. Can you imagine Mary hearing the words of Simeon and the rise and fall of Israel and all the things that Simeon said about this baby? And Mary says, how did he know? How does he know? I mean, how does Elizabeth know? And how does Joseph know? And how do the shepherds know? And how does Simeon know? And I just imagine all these things summarized in this verse. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, affirming that God was in control, still not knowing what's going to happen. You have all these people and all these stories that... and then as Jesus gets a little older and there's the threat of Herod, and Mary's saying, well, we don't have to be afraid. He's God's son. I mean, God can take care of him. And no, we're going to go to Egypt. Well, what? Okay. So they go to Egypt. And Mary had to wonder, well, is this protection? But why can't God protect him in Judea if he was in Egypt? I mean, you know, God is, but what? She just goes, I guess. You know, she just follows what God does. Doesn't always understand why. I'm sure she doesn't. She didn't. Might not have wished it was that way, but she just... living out her life. She's living out a faithful life, just like we're called to do in our circumstances, living out a faithful life. Here's this Mary. They go to Egypt, then they come back, and then they end up in Nazareth. And just imagine what Mary felt as the little boy comes in. Daddy, I want to be with you, and, you know, I want a hammer. And he becomes the carpenter's son. He's known now as the son of the carpenter. For those years that we don't have any information, there's Mary just being the mother, being a Jewish mother, fulfilling what God wanted. And then one little story, at the age of 12, they go down to Jerusalem for the annual time, and they go back, and where's Jesus? He's not there. And they finally go back, and where is he? He's in the temple, and he's discussing, debating, questioning all these religious leaders. 12 years old, and there's Mary. Wrestling with, what? Who is this? The Son of God. Who is this? Who is my Jesus? Pondering, treasuring up in our heart. You know, all these things too, we have the privilege of treasuring and pondering if we take time to. If we time to think. And then we have this empty period between age 12 and Jesus' public ministry. But there's Mary there all the time, watching, pondering, treasuring. And then Cana of Galilee. Mary just can't keep it in anymore. Jesus, it's time, you know. No, mother. It's not quite time. Well, here's, you know, next time Mary speaks. Jesus, it's time, you know. Being a mother, you know. And that's really what launches Jesus. He says, okay, Mom. It kind of seems like an story. It's not time yet, but Mom, okay. So changes the water into wine, and then all these miracles take place. And you imagine Mary watching Jesus healing the sick and casting out demons and turning, walking across the water on the Sea of Galilee, and the demon possessed man across the lake, and the crowds that come to hear him preach, and how he takes this little lunch of a few loaves and fishes and blesses it. And what's Mary doing? Pondering in her heart the wonder of who Jesus is, the wonder of God. What a privilege Mary had to wonder, to ponder. And she saw the growing conflict too. She wrestled with what they were saying about Jesus and the threats that took place. And no, that's not right. That part's not right. I just imagine the mother saying and feeling, wrestling. Here's this very human mother who sees things going badly from her perspective. I mean, again, she doesn't know. She doesn't understand what God's doing. But in her humanness, boy, she's probably like any other mother or father. Oh, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, God. You can't. No, Jesus. No, it's not right. You're saying things that are too far. And even the mother and the brothers go to kind of grab Jesus at one point and pull him back. Kind of get the feeling, Jesus, wait a minute. You're going too far. Can you just slow down a little bit? You know, the humanness of watching Jesus' journey, not knowing what God was going to do, treasuring up and pondering in her heart. And then the anguish, the arrest, the Garden of Gethsemane, the arrest, the beatings, the trial, the cross. How can it be, God? The anguish of the mother, treasuring up and pondering, certainly the pondering here. The seeming failure, the broken dreams, the total message of the angel that is just totally broken. How could God be so wrong? Imagine what Mary must have felt. But there she is. She has always been there. Mary is the consistent one. Peter denied, the disciples ran, others doubted. But Mary's always there. She's always there. Every significant story, there's Mary. They take his body off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, and you just imagine the mother there and all the things about Mary. And then on the third day, who's at the tomb? The women, to start with. So many Marys there, it's hard to sort them all out. But, you know, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Mary the sister. You know, there's Mary somewhere at the tomb, or at the risen tomb on the resurrection day, treasuring and pondering. There she is. She's with Jesus in the 40 days in between the resurrection and the ascension. She's with Jesus at the ascension. And there she is on the day of Pentecost with the disciples again. Consistent, living out, not knowing the end, not knowing how it's all going to happen. The challenge of Mary to me is how she lives it out without knowing what's going to happen. But every day, every step, every story, she's just there doing what God called her to do. And she's an amazing example and story. What she treasured in her heart. Matthew chapter 6. Debbie, would you come? Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So as we close this morning, I just a reminder of what you treasure in your life and how important it is that you treasure the right things and you hold on to them. You ponder them in your heart. God can help you then to deal with the things that Mary dealt with for sure. The uncertainties, maybe early on the gossip, maybe not. The fear, the running to Egypt. Later on, they took Jesus out and wanted to throw him over the cliff in his hometown. I wonder what she thought then. But all along the way through the hard times, God gave her what she needed. And the truth is, God can give us what we need every part of our lives. I'm thankful for that today. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for every person, every detail, Lord, every truth. I pray, God, that you would apply it to our hearts. As we have focused this morning mostly on Mary, I pray that we would learn from this woman of great faith, of great obedience, of great willingness, who's able to accept the task that God gave her without knowing how it was going to play out, the good and the bad. I pray, God, that you would help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us, God, to believe and trust you that you are there and you can help us and you will be faithful to us as we live out our faith in you, I pray. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for this picture of Mary today. Thank you for each person that's here. Bless them and watch over them and guide them and strengthen their faith, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.